CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Asian Not Asian Podcast, the podcast where two Asian guys not from Asia talk about American issues no American cares about. I'm your host, Fumi Abe.
And I'm Mike Nguyen.
Today is Saturday 18th. We're coming at you from LA and New York as always. Good to see everybody again.
Yeah.
Good to see everybody again, man.
Yeah, it's nice to be back. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. Leave us 5 stars. We finally are over 900 reviews after going down somehow, which was amazing.
Dude, that was so funny.
That was weird.
So funny.
Literally.
We posted on Instagram. We're like, we're at 899. Please leave a review to make us 900. And then the next day we look and we're at 896.
It's like we snapped in Avengers and just some people disappeared. They turned their reviews disappeared. But now we're over 900.
Yeah. I was imagining somebody being like, oh, I still follow this account, and they deactivated their Apple ID.
Yeah, it's like, you know what, I'm an Android guy now. Yeah, they just switched over. Leave us a review if you're on using the podcast app. If you're on Spotify, go ahead and hit follow. And if you're checking this out on YouTube, hi, YouTube. That was a very old guy thing for me to do, to wave at the camera. Please hit the subscribe button, the like button, leave a comment, tell all your friends. And that's how you make us happy.
Yeah. Before we start the show, we're going to do our Patreon shoutouts. What is Patreon? It is the best way to support the podcast. We're completely independent. We're not with a network, and so you can give us money, and that helps us run this operation. And you might be wondering, why would we give you money? Well, listen, folks. Listen, Gen Z people listening. We don't want to work, and we just want to do this full time. And if you could just find it in your heart to help support that dream of me and Mike just not working and doing this full time, that would be amazing. So go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod and give us your money. And in return, you'll get bonus episodes and a shout out on this podcast, which we're going to do right now. We're going to give a shout out to our podcast, Patreon members, and we're going to guess your ethnicity based purely on your last name. Here we go. First person, Koji Wada.
Koji,
that is Japanese.
Japanese. That is like a Godzilla Japanese, you know? Yeah.
I love it. This person, I don't know, was she like, this person like is already a patron and she deactivated it and then activated it again because I think she just wants to hear her name. Danielle Sowers.
Danielle
Sowers. She's an adopted Korean person. We know you.
We do know you.
And
thank you really for disappearing and returning. Maybe you're one of those people who disappeared and returned.
I mean, we're not sure how we feel about it, but we're glad you did it. Next, we have Kathy Tung, T-U-N-G.
Ooh, I'm going to say Chinese. Tung.
I have never met a Tung Chinese, but I've also never met a Tung anybody.
Tung, I want to say Tung, Fung. Those are Chinese names.
Yeah, that's
I'm going to go with
Kathy's
that.
Pretty Chinese.
That's a pretty Chinese name. Yeah, that's pretty Chinese. Shouts.
And last but not least, we have Ling F-H. F-H.
Oh, man. I think this person...
Well, Ling is Chinese-y,
sounds Chinese.
But F-H is... What is it, like football... I don't know, house? I don't know.
I feel like sometimes Asian people will just use our initials for stuff and just to kind of throw a curveball at people, you know?
Oh, you think this is like Ling Fei Huang or something?
Yeah, I think it's
she's lazy. So.
Ling Fu Hang or something like that. But it's just they go by Ling FH. Or maybe this last person, the person's last name is Ling. I don't think so. But yeah, you know, it's like it's kind of like a Canto Pop vibe here. I'm getting Canto Pop vibes. Yeah.
She's an acronym Asian, and we love that.
We love it.
Well, thank you so much for your money. And again, if you want to get in this game, go to patreon.com/asian.asianpod. And please support this podcast. Guys, there are people on Patreon making like $50,000 a month. How can we let this happen? Okay? We need to do that too. Can you imagine me and Mike making $50,000 a month on Patreon? I mean, the Gucci suits would be out of control, guys.
You know,
so
I mean,
see
I'll
that.
See other podcasts of these of comedians, and they'll get that money, and it's hilarious because they really don't know what to do with the money. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, you know what's so funny? Yeah. We constantly talk about how comedians don't know how to use money. Tim Dillon, he makes like $100,000 a month on Patreon, and he bought a house in Austin, but he hates it there, so now he's leaving, and I think he's losing a bunch of money on the house or something like that. Because he signed the papers like not even a year ago. Like, you're not supposed to like buy a house and move out like 6 months in.
Right.
That's exactly what he's doing. So you're right. People, we don't know what we would do with the money.
We wouldn't. We don't.
It would be
we
fun
don't.
To watch.
But
I think.
It'll be it, and we turn that the bankruptcy proceedings into content again. So 100%. There's always content 100%. Out there. So if you give us the money, that'd be great.
Yep. And before we get to our guests, we always like to ask each other, what kind of Asian were you this week? Because on this podcast, we try to figure out what it means to be Asian Americans, because it's so hard to define.
Yep.
And people keep telling us how to be, and every week we try to endeavor what it means. So, Mike, what kind of Asian were you this week?
I was an old Asian, which is something I would do every week. But this was especially old because it was my birthday this week. This week was my birthday. So went out. First, I went to Mission Chinese, and I had dinner, which was awesome. Because nearby, we went to Knockdown Center, which is like a venue in Queens, I think it's in Queens, like Brooklyn, Queens area. And we went to go see Audrey Nuna, who is like this awesome Korean-American, and she's very Korean-American because I think she's from New Jersey, which is like as Korean-American as you can get. How about you, Fumi? What kind of Asian were you this week?
This week I was an unfazed Asian. You know how unfazed Asians be sometimes, you know?
Uh-huh. What does that mean?
Hey, you know how it is, you know, unfazed Asians. What I mean by this is yesterday I did this comedy show that was produced by Dumbfounded. He's like a rapper, and Mike has talked about it on the podcast before. It's like a very cool hip-hop Asian vibes. There's like 300 people in this huge parking lot. And the thing with LA shows is like there were a lot of celebrities here.
Yeah.
So like Awkwafina was there. Wong from Doctor Strange was there.
Hell
that
yeah.
Steffi chick. Bobby Lee, like, Kalayla, his girlfriend, Gilbert. There were a lot of, like, other fashion. Like, every person I was meeting in that crew was like had at least 50,000 followers, and they were like Instagram models or whatever. And I noticed something that I was doing where when I meet a celebrity who's Asian, I'm not as phased as it, like. If I, like, one time I saw Adam Scott in the Lower East Side, and I was like, oh my God, that's fucking Adam Scott, you know?
Oh my God.
But when I see an Asian celebrity, I'm just like, of course it's cool, but I guess I just, it doesn't, like, I'm not that, I don't freak out, and I was trying to figure out if that was because I see them as a full person, or if it's because I have something, like, I'm sort of, like, my mind is colonized or something, and I, like, see them as less or something. You know what I mean? Like, for example, after my set, Awkwafina came up to me, and she was, like, I have a bit about Shang-Chi or something, and she was, like, oh, man, what you said about Shang-Chi is so true. And I was literally, like, oh, cool, thanks, man. And I, like, walked away. Like, I, like, didn't even, like,
I was just kind of
caught up in the moment. I think I was just like, oh, I don't want to like bug you. I don't know. I just she just like came at me like right after I got off stage, and I was like kind of already high from like having a set.
I see.
And she just came up to me and she tried to talk to me, and I was like, oh, cool, thanks, man. And I just literally walked away, and I was like, why did I do that?
That's
funny. But I felt the same way when I first saw Alan Yang at a party. Alan Yang, like the creator of Master of None.
Yeah.
I saw him at a party once, and I was like, that guy just looks like my friend. You know. I think it's like, and it's not like that I'm seeing non-Asian celebrities that often. Well, actually, that's not true. I see them quite often now because of work. But
right.
Like, yeah, I just thought that was an interest. I was having an interesting. I was having an introspective moment. I was like, "What is this? Why?" I think ultimately it's a good thing because I don't feel scared or intimidated to like talk to these people. You know.
Mm-hmm,
But it was a weird thing I was experiencing. You know.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's what I meant by unfazed Asian.
Mm.
And. Before
yeah.
I bring up our guest, I do want to say that I want to give a shout out to all our anals. A lot of anals were at the show. And what was really cool, Mike, we always talk about upping our confidence. What was really cool is that a lot of anals came up and they were like, they wanted to take a picture with me, which is fine. But they would ask me to take a picture with them when literally Awkwafina is like 3 feet away. And yeah. It was really cool to, because they didn't really care about her, I guess,
because
they're just, you know, and it's like, oh, I realize, like, you know, being a fan of somebody kind of sort of normalizes all
yeah,
that,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, in a way. And yeah. So I think we should believe in ourselves.
I feel the music writer friend of yours who came on the show, I believe she talked about like having like, you know, all these, there's like all these like micro celebrities and micro tribes of people, you know, like, and it's kind of crazy because there's still like big celebrities. Of course, I think Awkwafina is one of them. And I think if I saw Awkwafina, I'd be like, whoa, this is awesome. You know, this would be cool. But like, yeah. At the same time, you know, if you don't follow Marvel and you check out this other podcast, then you're like all about this podcast, right? And we're like in people's ears every single day for a whole hour. You know what I'm saying? Like you only get to see movie stars like maybe like 3 movies a year or whatever. And plus their interviews and stuff like that, right? So it's kind of crazy. I do have some thoughts, but I want to hear from our guests too, because speaking of celebrities, I think our celebrities definitely, I mean, our guest is definitely, you know, in that status, man. So,
absolutely.
You keep talking. You keep talking. Okay. You know what I love? You know what I love? You know what I love this whole time?
Well,
they told
me I couldn't talk. No, so I've just been sitting here. Yeah.
So the whole, it's funny because at the beginning, our guest was like, oh, can I talk? And we're like, no, don't talk. Been talking this whole time. We've been hearing your dog. We've been hearing you talk.
Yeah. What is up with that dog?
I laughed once, man. You guys are such Asian men. I laughed a little bit. I just breathed a little loud, and you're like,
stop breathing.
I told you to stop talking, you stupid woman.
We really can't be having that energy here.
Yeah.
Stop
wow.
Anyways,
well, speaking of
our guest today is a celebrity for sure. She is a TikTok royalty, co-host of the Hilarious Feeling Asian podcast. Guys, give it up for the hilarious Yongmi Mayer.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Do you feel what Fumi was saying as far as like when you see certain celebrities, like, you know, Asian ones versus not Asian ones? Do you feel like...
Does that make sense?
I agree. I kind of feel like that too. But I have this thing where, not to sound like, I don't know how this is going to sound. I never get excited about a celebrity. Like, I've never met a celebrity that I've been like, I feel like when I was younger, you know, like a teenager, that would be like, but now I'm just like, I'm over it. And it's really interesting because celebrities don't really react that well to you not being excited.
Whoa. Yes.
Because like I've been in situations where I'm like talking like at a whatever dinner or something, sitting with a celebrity, and I'm just like, hey, what's up, man? And they're just like, what? Like, why are you acting? Why aren't you excited
normal.
Or nervous?
Why aren't
or
you excited?
You know?
Right.
I don't know why. I just don't get excited about celebrities. I think I don't really respect a lot of celebrities.
Yes.
I think it's sort of bullshit.
Yes. Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's a little bullshit.
Is this coming from some of the... I listened to the episode where you were really late to a dinner because you were doing shrooms banging.
This
dinner, I guess, was full of like these... I don't know what they were. I don't know who they were, but I'm going to tell you who they were.
And
okay.
So are they celebrities?
I'm going on. Okay. I don't even. They're not celebrities, but they're famous. It's the guy, I forgot his name. The guy that runs, not a celebrity, this very popular podcast called, it's a communist podcast. Do you know Chapo?
Trap House.
Yes.
Another group of men who make $100,000 a month. They're huge.
Obviously they're huge in their whatever circle, but most people probably would not recognize them, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
That makes sense.
I didn't, and I've never heard that podcast, but I feel like those people that are like quote unquote famous, but not really famous, those are the true fucking... They are so insecure and weird and asshole-y. Because they are well known. Like that man has like whatever millions of followers. But if you don't know him, you just don't. It's not like fucking Tom Cruise or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not like Beyonce.
Yeah.
It's
crazy to have a popular communist podcast and expect everyone to know who you are. I've heard of the name, but I don't know any other names.
Right.
I don't know who they are.
I've heard of that podcast. Yeah.
But then obviously he's like, and I feel like those people, when I'm like, hi, what's your name? And they're like,
Yeah.
Like that. They get a little like that. Yeah. And I'm like,
yeah.
Bro, yo, shut the fuck up. So, that I don't know. Why are you so interesting?
I feel I'm only like a year away from that, dude. You know, you ever seen that meme of like the guy in the corner of the party?
So
and like there's the words where it's like, nobody knows that I have a cool podcast. You know, like that's me. For sure. I'm definitely going to become that person. Nobody even knows
nobody
that
knows
I have.
I have.
Yeah, nobody knows that I went viral on TikTok once. please pay attention to me.
I could never in a million years imagine having that mindset. Like, that's so embarrassing to me. Like, me, when somebody recognizes me, I'm embarrassed when somebody recognizes me. I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you for being nice. And, like, thank you that one person.
Nice.
But to be like... Yeah. And then the funny thing was he was with these other people that, I don't know, have other podcasts that are... equally famous, I guess, and Brian was, I don't know who they are, and Brian, and they were being so fucking snotty, like, don't talk to me like that. And Brian, my podcast co-host, was there, and he was like, did you hear that one girl talking about how she's making so much money on her communist podcast? And I was like, that's so funny. I was like, who are you people? Anyway,
that's great.
I definitely saw people yesterday who were like famous people who were like, I can only describe it as this. I don't know if that's what they're doing, but they were just walking around trying to get recognized.
Oh, word? You think so?
So embarrassing.
Shit.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I saw
that is the me people I named. That is me in H Mart. That I will admit. That is me in H Mart. I am walking around in H Mart. We're walking around. We're holding like a big vegetable, like a big radish or something, and we're just like, oh.
I hope they see me.
I hope they see me with this radish.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to say something about that really quick because I was kidding. Sorry, I'm going to just say
No,
really
go ahead.
Yeah,
please,
About the fame thing, I think there's a difference. Like, I don't know. Like, I think you, all of us, we are in this because we like comedy or we like doing something like we like it because we like making jokes. Or like, let's say we were singers. If we were singers, we would be like, we love performing and singing. Like, but there's so many people that do whatever they're doing just to get famous.
That is a completely
different kind of person, and those are the fucking weird psychos that are walking around trying to get recognized. Because like, for us, it's almost like, for I don't know about you, but like, for me, it's almost like, that's like, obviously I have an ego. Everyone in the world wants recognition. It's only natural, and obviously it feels nice when people recognize me, but that's not the reason, you know. That's like not really the reason that I do the podcast or comedy, you know, like
It's part of it,
but it's not.
It is weird to do that. And it's because, you know, for a lot of people in comedy, you want to be funny, but then later on you realize you have to also be famous in order to do the first thing. You have to be the second thing. And like, that's where a lot of weirdness can come, because like comedians, we don't have that mindset naturally. Not some of us do, but like not everyone does. And so then you're like, eventually you have to like kind of switch over to being like, oh, I have to like, you know, have clout and do all these things, which like, I got into this so that I could like tell us this funny burrito joke. I had a funny burrito joke and I wanted to tell it in front of other people. I didn't want to, I wasn't like, oh, I'm going to try to get fans or whatever. I will say, I feel I've crossed a new threshold as far as recognition, because I finally got recognized at my jiu-jitsu school.
Nice.
In the locker room. So shouts to that guy. Thank you for letting me put my pants on. I was walking around naked and stuff. Oh yeah, of course.
They saw your dick. They're like, I've seen that dick.
I mean, hey, wait a minute. I've seen that shaving. You know, so that was cool. I was like, oh, this is interesting.
That's so intimate. Yeah. That's Patreon content, bro.
You're right. Yeah. You're right. That guy owes me like $5. So
I love that.
Yeah.
Young me, we want to ask you, what kind of Asian were you this week?
Yeah.
What kind of Asian was I? I was a hardworking Asian, I feel like.
Whoa.
Which is
okay.
Yeah.
Shocking for me, because I don't ever do anything. I'm fucking lazy, and anxiety ridden.
I love
like,
that.
Catatonically lying in bed most of the time. But I had like a lot of work. We had the show this week and it went really well. It was really funny, and so there's a lot of work that I had to do. And then I was just like working on everything that I had to do. It's just like, I feel like I do a lot, but then I always have this like guilt in the back of my head, like I'm not doing enough.
Yeah, you can always do more. I always feel that.
Yeah, and so it always translates to, you know, like I just said, I think that I'm a lazy person. But then I'll like look back at like what I did in this week and I'm like, that's so fucking crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I was so fucking busy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's weird.
You got like so much going on. I feel any creator person because you have like, you know, I think you still work your job. Oh, you don't. Okay.
I don't.
So, but yeah, I know you had that for a long time, and then you got now you're like doing kind of media influencer stuff, I guess. I don't know how else to call it. You know, you got like stuff that you do. You know, you got that. You got comedy. You know, you got your kid, and I mean, a live show is one of those things. I was talking to Fumi. I had a live show the day before, and it's like live shows are one of those things where it's like the opposite of what we were just talking about when it comes to fame, like. It is the most amount of work for the littlest amount of fame gained, because a live show is like it's encapsulated in the room alone, unless you stream it. And even then, you're not really like getting it out there. It's just like it's a ton of work, and it's for your fans that are existing. You know what I'm saying? And you're not gaining more. You may be gaining some new fans, but like relative to the amount of hours and blood, sweat and tears that you put into this thing, it's crazy times. I mean, I forgot how much. When you go into live show mode, like Fumi and I, we would do live shows, and you go full on Japanese salaryman entertainer mode. You know, you're like up until 12 or 1, like writing jokes, changing things around, emailing everyone. And it's just, it's so stressful. But I mean, it's great because the end product can be really like awesome and magical, I guess you could say.
Yeah. It's like, sorry, my dog's barking. Do you want me to tell her to shut up? Cause she's a woman.
Yeah. Can you tell her?
She's an Asian. She's an Asian woman.
She's an Asian woman.
How dare she?
Specifically.
Dog. Yeah.
Stop. No talking.
Yeah, she really can't be talking like that.
So you got another show coming up like maybe in like a month or so?
Yeah, in October 28th. It's going to be a Halloween theme. It's going to be fun.
Okay, hell yeah. Oh, shit. Halloween theme. That's going to be very your brand, I feel.
I'm going to dress up as a Korean Gishin, like Korean ghost. It just looks like every other East Asian ghost. It's like white with like black long hair, wearing all white, blood coming out of your mouth or whatever.
Yeah.
But do you want to hear this really fucked up? You know how like in America, there's like five main Halloween characters? Like like the vampire, witches, Frankenstein, witch, mummy.
Yes.
Right? In Korea, they have like five or six or whatever, but one of them is so offensive. It's just like a rich Chinese person. Do you know about this?
No.
It's so bad.
Oh my God.
It's like a
guy wearing Chinese, Supreme? What? Like, yeah.
Yeah. It's an aristocrat, like a Chinese aristocrat wearing like a silk robe and the long ponytail and really, really long fingernails. Cause that was like a sign of wealth for, I don't know how it started. I think there was a horror movie like in the 60s or something that came out in Korea. And the ghost name is Kang Shi. Like Kang is their last name. And she is like the, a proper way of saying it. And it's just like a Chinese. And I'm like, this is so offensive.
So offensive.
Are the other ones like, like a legendary fox and like a weird tiger? And then they're just like one Chinese person.
So offensive.
Is this person dead or is this person straight up just a rich guy? Okay. He's a dead rich guy.
He is dead. Zombie. Okay. I feel like this might be wrong. If somebody listening and they know the story, correct me. This is what I think it is. He's dead. He was buried. And then because he was rich, he had like some sort of like gold bracelet or something on his foot. And then somebody cut his leg off to steal the bracelet. And because of that, he came out from the dead. He's a zombie.
Right.
He jumps on one leg.
Yes.
Because he can't, because he only has one leg. And so you can hear him like jumping in the middle of the night if he's coming to get his gold.
Okay, hold on here. I have seen a trope like this before. They actually have this in certain Capcom fighting games where they have somebody, a vampire.
Oh,
it's a Chinese vampire.
Yeah.
It's a Chinese ghost.
Kangxi.
And it hops around. Hops around, has like nails. It has like bright cheeks, and I mean in the way in the video game it makes it look like really cute. They're like, oh, this is a really cute like witch or whatever, like ghost, that's crazy. I had no idea that that's
a traditional
a kind of like
horror
more.
Character
whoa
maybe
do you,
it might
do you know
be
this at
from
all?
China maybe it's from China and that's
I don't
like
know.
Koreans adapted a Chinese story, so maybe it's not racist that he's Chinese. I don't know. It's just an old ancient ghost that's dressed like, you know what I mean? I have no idea. We should look it up. But then
oh my gosh.
How you stop him, you write a curse and in like Chinese characters, and you paste it on his head and it stops him. And so when we were kids, we all memorized how to write it in case, just in case, you know, in case Kangxi came for you in the night.
This is interesting, you know, because we're always talking about how, you know, there's no Asian people and stuff like that. But now this episode is going to be, we're going to talk a lot about media. This is a very media heavy show because, dude, there's so much Asian representation. There's like
it's
a bunch
much.
Of stuff coming. There's almost too much. There really is. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you very quickly as an aside that I've just learned this, that Gen Z people do think that Asian dudes are hot. And I can see why, because when I was at this show at Knockdown Center, all the young Asian dudes, so hot. First of all, everybody's so tall. I don't know when this happened. Everybody is so tall.
Something happened to the DNA after like
they
9/11.
They look cool.
Like, people born after 9/11 are fucking hot.
Dude,
it's crazy.
Dude. All the Asian dudes, they were just like cool guys. Or, you know, there was like hot dudes. So much confidence. They look good. And so now, you know, we want to talk about this representation thing, but we also want to kind of get into it because, you know, it's a tricky thing. Representation. Are we representing the right thing? Is this even something we should be putting out on whatever in media? I guess the first we want to talk about is this new Doogie remake. It's not a remake. It's kind of like a spin-off kind of thing because this character, it's Doogie. I'm going to say this wrong. Kamealoha? MD. It premiered recently. It stars Peyton Elizabeth Lee as a genius sort of mixed-race Native Hawaiian medical prodigy. So the character... is kind of the same as it was with Doogie Howser, where this person is like a prodigy, like a very young doctor. I think in the show she's like 14 or something like that, or 15. She's not named Doogie. They just nickname her Doogie because in this universe there is the show Doogie Howser, so they call her Doogie. So that's why. But it has nothing to do with like Doogie Howser. It's not like that's her dad or some shit like that. But it's set in Hawaii. And this character, she's supposed to be mixed race, Native Hawaiian. Okay. It's actually, the show is, I think, has gotten a lot of good reviews because of various things. It's, you know, supposed to be well done. But there's been some controversy because this actress, Peyton Elizabeth Lee, she is mixed race, but she is mixed race Chinese. She's not native. She's not Native Hawaiian. So, you know, some people have brought it up. I saw an article posted on this Facebook group and people got real heated on there. And it was, I thought it was good exchange. But before I get into some of that, I wanted to hear, I don't know if people had some immediate reactions before we kind of dig into it more.
Well, fucking, you know, the same thing happened when Randall Park took over for the dad's role, fresh off the boat, right? He's Korean.
Oh, shit.
And, right, I think there's been multiple instances of this. I think it's... Okay, these are my thoughts in order. My first reaction is like, well, it's just like, I think it is tough being an Asian actress, you know? It's a little bit easier now, but I also just, as somebody in entertainment, I understand, like, you do have to, like, take whatever gig you can get sometimes, and this is, like, a great gig. So, like, from a business standpoint, I get that. I do think there is like a line because I think people didn't really give a shit about Randall Park being Korean because it's a sitcom and sitcoms are like cheesy and dumb. I think, for example, if like they shot Minari and the guy playing the Korean dad was like a Chinese dude, people would be like, why? You know, like you couldn't find, you know what I mean? Because that's more like an indie film that's really like really authentic. There's nothing really authentic about shows like Fresh Off the Boat or like Modern Family or like these ABC, right? These like it's like it's all kind of for the Midwestern family watching TV at like 7 o'clock at night. So I feel like maybe there's a line, but that said, I went to Hawaii a couple months ago and we kind of had a whole episode about Hawaiian natives and how they're, you know, there's still a lot of movements over there about people trying to take over the government and people are very bitter about white tourists and they want their land back and all that shit. So, like, that I understand. I'm not sure why they had to make her native in the show. I feel the show would have been fine if they were just like, these people live in Hawaii, because there's plenty of Asian immigrants there, and I think they sort of contributed to like the modern Hawaii culture, because they've been there since like the 1800s, and that's still very much part of modern Hawaii culture. But those people don't say I'm Hawaiian. If you talk to like a fourth generation like Japanese Hawaiian person, they say I'm from Hawaii, you know. So they identify with Hawaii and all it has to offer, but they don't say they're Hawaiian because
they're not,
that's like
saying they're not native.
That's like
they're
saying I am indigenous. Filipino. It's not this. It's exactly. It's like racially, it's not the same. Yeah, so I think it, I totally get the argument there. I mean, Mike, you had mentioned earlier that like, I don't know, like Hawaiian people, like, I don't want to get in trouble for saying this, but like, are they even really Asian?
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I feel like there is the umbrella term Asian American Pacific Islander, right? AAPI, right? We all have that same month together. We're all like to get, you know, lumped together. But if you kind of like keep peeling apart the different layers of it, you know, first of all, Asian American is a huge group of people, and it not just racially, like I guess genetically, but I'm saying like history wise, there's different reasons for different people to be in this country.
Yeah.
And if you look at Pacific Islanders, they do not have the same history at all, like as a, you know, Chinese American, Vietnamese American or Korean American. You know, they're not immigrants. You know, they didn't immigrate here. They essentially got colonized and then taken over. So they're much more indigenous people that, you know, that that got taken over, right? There is some overlap with other Asian American experiences, but that's not the same history at all. Mm-hmm. So it is weird, and it's weird because, you know, we don't even really look the same. It's just that we're all in the ocean together. We're all in the giant ocean, the Pacific Island Ocean. Yeah. And when America was fighting in World War II and like moving this ship across, you know, trying to get to Asia, they just like kept running into Asian people, quote unquote, Pacific Islander people as well. And I don't know, maybe we all got to group together. I know that the term AAPI started kind of in certain academic circles, so there may be a reason for all of us to be grouped together like that. Maybe it makes sense. Maybe it made sense then, makes less sense now. But I want to hear what Young Me thinks. I mean, because you've lived like all over
Saipan.
You lived in Saipan. You lived in Korea, and obviously now you live here.
I grew up in Micronesia. Well, first of all, I think Pacific Islanders don't identify as Asian. Absolutely not. Like, you know, I have a lot of friends that are Micronesian, and you know, like Hawaiian, Polynesian, and Pacific Islanders, and their fight is to basically educate Americans.
Yeah.
And tell them that they're not Asian. Like, they are very adamant.
Right.
Like, we're not. We have a very unique culture. It's extremely different than, you know. I mean, all parts of Asia, we all have very different cultures from each other. But, like, Pacific Islanders have a very rich history. And they're some of the most, like, they were some of the most advanced, like, civilizations. Like, their ancient practices of, like, navigating the oceans was, like, nothing less than genius. Just like that people thousands of years ago were able to, you know like the entire ocean, like the back of their hand. Do you know what I mean? And find an island that's like a mile long in 50 million mile Pacific. That's like fascinating. They have like such a rich and like long ancient history. And it's almost been like wiped out because, you know, the indigenous like people of those islands are absolutely not respected. And I think that they don't identify as Asian. And I think the other part of this that white people, I think, really fail to understand is that there is a lot of colonizing that was done by Asian people of Pacific Islands, right?
Yes.
And so they're looking at us like we are the colonizers too.
Damn.
So I don't fucking want...
Right.
Why the fuck is this fucking... Asian bitch, I see why they're angry and upset.
Yeah.
And I think it's very ignorant for Americans to so easily group Pacific Islanders and Asian people together. I understand why the AAPI thing happened is probably like just so that Pacific Islanders would get some representation. You know, like every time Asian people did, they would sort of be included.
Right, kind of.
But
right.
I mean, to this day, you see them being like forgotten about over and over again. And it's like, it's really sad.
Yeah, absolutely.
I understand why they're so upset. But also, I want to just, my question about the show specifically is what I'm wondering is like, who wrote it? Who are the writers? And who are the people behind it? Because it kind of sounds to me like it was like some white guy being like, we're going to set it in Hawaii. right?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
It's so like, I think the person who created it is the person who created Fresh Off the Boat. It's something Kang. The last name was Kang, so I think it's an Asian person. But you know, but to your point, but you know what it is? It's like Quiver greenlit it, right?
Yeah.
It's obviously a white dude. I also want to say, like, you know, I feel, you know, I think last summer, like, the acronym BIPOC became a thing. You know, Indigenous. We put the Indigenous, Black Indigenous up there. And, you know, I think Indigenous people, I mean, I'm guilty of this. I didn't even really know about, like, the Hawaiian race until, like, 4 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because they don't really teach that shit to, like, American kids in high school and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what that, like, as, like, you know, we think Hawaiian. I for a long time, I just pictured, like, half Asian kids. But that's not even really what Hawaiian means, and I think they're always getting shafted. And there's a show out right now called Reservation Dogs on Hulu, and it's really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Reservation Dogs because it's about Native Americans living in a reservation in Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like these four kids in high school who are Native American and, like, sort of navigating in this world where, like, they want to be proud of their culture, but there's, like, white people moving and all that shit.
Yeah.
And it's really good. It's really well done, not because it's about Native Americans, but I was like, this is, like, the only show about Native Americans that's, like, probably more accurate in terms of, like, what young Native American kids are into. Because I feel anytime Native Americans on television, it's like the History Channel, and it's like Chief Crazy Horse on his fucking horse, and they're going to war. You know, it's Pocahontas, right? But they're not. There's so much more to Native American kids in 2021 who, like, do drugs, and they're like, you know, I mean, there's, like, suicide in this fucking thing. They go through a depression. They've got feelings, and, you know, all this shit. So I think, like, when given the chance, you have to give it to them, and so that's why I totally understand. Like, okay, it's Doogie Howser, it's in Hawaii, you're even saying that she's Native Hawaiian.
Yeah.
Like, can you just not find someone who
is Hawaiian,
you know, even if it's like a fourth, like, anything, like, just, like, just give it to them,
just give it
to
them. Yeah. Like, it's, what you said, like, Fumi,
just fucking give it to them.
They could have just been like, she's not Hawaii, she's Chinese, and she just lives in Hawaii. That's fine. But if you're gonna make it the point about diversity, and you know, like,
that's a good point.
The problem that I have is, like, producers want to do that because they know that that's, like, a hot thing right now. Diversity. Oh, she's Hawaiian. But then they're
right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh.
Not even really following through with that, you know?
Yeah. I've been thinking about this and you know, I definitely feel I need to be more cognizant of, like, Pacific Islanders separate from Asian Americans. You know, it'd be great if we could all, like, help each other. But, like, I understand, like, they need their own space to do things. I think, too, the difference between, you know, people then go, oh, well, you know, if there was a show about, you know, Vietnamese Americans, could you ever have Korean Americans play Vietnamese Americans? And I think it's a sticky one. And it sort of depends on how the show is and if it's all these different things. But I always think it's like, okay, this is supposed to be an Asian American. Is it supposed to be a representation of Asian America, right? And that's that's a separate thing. And I always try to push for it. I'm not Vietnamese. I'm Vietnamese American. Okay, that's different. And I think a lot of the people who listen to the show and who are out there, you know, they kind of are getting this sense that, like, I'm not Asian. I'm Asian American. That's a little different. And I feel if you have a show and it's representing Asian America, even if a character is, like, Chinese American, but a Vietnamese American plays him, or if there is a Korean American person and a Chinese American plays them, I think I'm okay with that because you're trying to represent a community, right? I can relate to certain Chinese American things. I'm not Chinese, but I can relate to certain Chinese Americans. Whereas we're all Asian Americans, so. It's why I think it'd be, for example, really odd if you had an Asian American story and you got a guy who was Asian, you know, playing.
That
would make a lot less sense. And actually, I think it would not be possible because you would be like, this doesn't work because this person doesn't understand what this is, what's supposed to happen. Right. So I sort of think that's where it is. And of course, we, you know, because for me, I don't want it to be, well, like, this person has got to be exactly this role, because we don't don't hold that standard to white people. White people can play all sorts of different races, you know, and different whites, you know. So I don't want to have a standard for us. I think we have to think about our own standards, right? Like, the community, like, we have a standard for our representation, right? Do we have is that standard somehow higher than what other, you know, how we hold it to the general, entertainment industry. Now that yeah. said, I do think, and first of all, I want to make sure that I'm not coming down on the actress, this person Lee. You know,
oh
hey,
yeah, yeah,
she's
that's not
she's
her
working.
Fault. Yeah,
this is not really
this is, she's working.
Not her
working.
Fault.
She's working. She's working.
Yeah. She's working. This
good
is
for
she,
her.
She didn't have. She didn't have the. You know, hey, that's her thing. But I understand now if people are like, well, this person's supposed to play a indigenous person. Well, you know, those people don't aren't represented. They're not in mm-hmm. the same group as Asian American. Now, if this person to what we've all been talking about, if this person was just like an Asian American person in Hawaii, yeah. yes, there are Asian Americans in Hawaii yeah. and we can mm-hmm. represent, they can be represented in different ways from that, because you're pulling from that community, right? Yeah. But now you're pulling from people who are separate from this community. So that really is it. We solved it, guys. We did it.
We solved racism again.
We solved racism again.
Have you heard Andrew Orlofo, a friend out here? He has this really funny joke about Asian American and Pacific Islander and how he doesn't want Pacific Islanders to be grouped under Asians.
Why?
Because his punchline is something like, you know, he's talking about The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, if The Rock is grouped under, like, you know, Asian Americans, that's bad for him because I'd rather be a regular ass Asian guy than like a bitch ass Samoan guy or something like that. You know, whereas if those people come into our
they're
territory, then all of a sudden like
yeah.
Yeah.
all of us are just like we're like mini humans. We're like so small and you know we're like not even the same thing. So
yeah,
that's a great point.
Speaking yeah. of hot Asians, yeah. We wanted to move on to this next thing. We've been talking about Shang-Chi for a few weeks now, just because we're such fucking fanboys. First of all, Youngmi, have you seen Shang-Chi?
No, I don't watch movies.
Oh, god damn it. You know what's funny? We swear
like
to god, we've been trying to get so many people. I feel like all the Asian people, we've got so much representation now. We're like, oh, I can skip this. You know, I'll get around to it. I'll get around to watching this movie.
I feel bad.
No, you should. No, it's fine. It's fine. It's a good movie. So it's made, as of the time that I did the research, $150 million, which is doing pretty good. So it's been pretty good. But people still be hating on Simu, our boy Simu. Mm-hmm. He had a tweet, a hilarious tweet recently, where he says in the tweet, "So glad that my friend showed me how to translate comments on Weibo." Weibo is kind of like Chinese Twitter. And
okay.
So he translated all of the different comments here, and he took some screenshots, and it's people are not very nice. I mean, hey, social media, people are not nice in social media, but this has been kind of an ongoing thing,
mm-hmm.
I think, about, you know, is like the core question is Simu hot? And this is one of those things where you guys remember the Facebook dress where it was like, is it white or is it gold or something?
Mm-hmm.
Blue
mm-hmm.
or gold?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm like, and to me, I'm like, clearly he's hot. What is the problem? I don't understand this. But then people, I think, don't want.
Well, it's not just people,
it's
right?
Asians
like you were
in
it's,
Asia.
It's
yes.
So this is the thing. It's like relating to the thing, you know, it's like you were saying it doesn't make sense if an Asian person from Asia played an Asian American character. It's like, who gets to decide what Asian Americans should be or could
right.
be or would be? And I think he's Canadian. He's Canadian. He's Chinese Canadian, but
yeah.
you know, he grew up in North America. He's in this fucking Marvel movie.
Mm-hmm.
I actually like, and a lot of Chinese people on Weibo are saying like, you know, muscular, yes. Handsome, I think not. You know, I think a lot of people are like, why is he on the face of this Marvel movie? He's so ugly. He's got Western features. Like, this is such a Western definition of a hot man. Like, you know, we don't want him representing Chinese people.
Yeah.
So that's like sort of the feedback. Mm. And it's just weird because it's like, this conversation is happening outside the country, you know? So, and I think I think that's like such a unique thing with Asian Americans is we have to deal with shit here and over there.
Mm. Yeah,
I have
for sure.
so many thoughts. I have so many thoughts
Go.
On this.
Go
I have
off.
So
Go
many
off.
Thoughts. Okay,
Go
before
off.
I say anything, we got a intense email at Feeling Asian Podcast from a Japanese woman, and she was like,
"Oh my god,
this might be the same person." Did she email you?
It's the same
you?
Fucking person.
She wants
what's this person's
she
name?
She wants I don't remember. Brian read it to me because I didn't go look
oh,
at it.
Okay.
Oh my god!
But,
my god. Oh my
it
god!
Was so racist, and she was saying, "I went to go watch this movie, Shang-Chi." And she said, "I went with all my Asian friends. We're all like from Asia. I'm from Japan." Whatever. I don't know what she said. And she said, "Oh, I want to talk about how in Asia,
right.
we wouldn't find him attractive, and why do... She was kind of saying it, and to be honest, there, I think this is a very nuanced issue, and I think there is some truth, but she said it kind of racistly, but like, but there is a little truth of what she's saying, not to Simu Liu, because right. I find him personally find him attractive, but like, she was saying American people choose ugly Asian people because they want us to look bad. And she was saying there are so many other attractive Asian men, but white people purposely choose people that look like this because they can't handle Asian men being attractive. And I was like, I think he's attractive. I'm not saying him because I find him attractive, but there is a history of white people doing that specifically with black people and black actors. Yes. Like, you know, like they never, like for the longest time, they always had, you know, black women. There couldn't be like a beautiful black woman because like, heaven forbid, some white guy would find that woman attractive. So like, there's a historical like accuracy to that statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a lot of Asian people in Asia, that's what they think when they see people that are they're not adhering to the beauty standards of Asian people in Asia, right?
Yeah.
Yes. But it's a very layered issue because she said a lot of fucked up shit in that email, and a lot of it was a lot of internalized racism.
I mean, bless you for even opening that. Mike and I deleted it
immediately. Oh my God, what? And she was saying some fucked up shit, you know, like saying like, oh, his features are, she was like picking apart how he looked. And I was like, that's a lot of like, but here, this is the thing, like I don't like saying this because a lot of white people will look at Asian people and Asian people that live in Asia, and they'll be like, you're getting plastic surgery because you want to look white, which is not true. They're just like trying to get plastic surgery to look better, but they're not making the maybe there's European beauty standards, but they're not consciously in their head.
It's not a one-to-one.
Yeah, in their head, they're not being like, I want to look white. They're just in their head, they're like, I just want to look better. Does that look more white? I guess you can argue that, but it's a very complicated issue. You know what I mean? Like,
And so
like that, there's so much like, it's so like mucky. Yeah. I don't even know what to say about that.
Yeah.
But
this is what I feel like. Having been like born in Japan and like kind of going back and forth and hearing my parents sort of talk about who they find attractive and whatnot. Yeah. And also I remember having that thought when I was younger, and I was like very young. I don't think this was coming from necessarily.
I've
like
had that thought
place,
too, where it was like Asians in Asia are so attractive, and like, you know, like in the media.
Well, it's just different. I just remember like when I moved here, I just thought, oh, a lot of my friends from Ohio who were white, they're like the Asian girls they find attractive. It seems like they're using a different sort of rubric than what I would find attractive. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that. I wasn't necessarily saying they were ugly, but it's like, oh, interesting. They like that kind of girl.
Yeah.
Where I'm kind of into more of this kind of girl. And I don't necessarily think I represent all Japanese people, but that's just kind of like, I've just consumed
it's
Japanese media.
Trend.
But you know what, man? It's like, I mean, I think it's fine. Like, I think people can, it's like you take one thing, you bring it to a different country, it's being interpreted differently.
Yeah.
And I think that is totally fine. And to be honest, I think it's actually kind of liberating for a lot of people, because I know a lot of Japanese people in New York who move to New York when they're like 30 and they're like working at a restaurant, and you know, they're like going to language school. They don't really speak English. And I got to meet a lot of people when I was working at Ipudo.
Yeah.
And they're very nice. And I remember one time I asked them, I was like, why did you move here? Like, do you have a job? Because this is how fucking stupid I was. I was like, you moved to New York, you must have an amazing job, right? Because that's how my dad moved here. You know, I was like, you must have a job. But a lot of women were like, you know, they're like 30, and I mean, fucking, it's very toxic over there.
I
think they were just called ugly in Japan.
Yeah.
And these people, they're called ugly in Japan, and they were sick of it. And they were like, I just wanted to come to a place where I could feel sexy. And American men, not just white, just American people, men in America, find me attractive, and that makes me feel good.
As a
19-year-old, I was like, like, that was a lot. I don't think I really understood what she was saying, but now I'm 31, and I'm like, I totally get that. And it's like, dude, like, everybody deserves that, you know? I think it's so toxic to, like, if you're in a country and they fucking tell you you're ugly and you'll never get married from your own parents, from your coworkers, from your friends, like, of course you're gonna fucking want to leave. And what's wrong with that girl coming over here and dating some American guy who, thinks that she's hot?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just glad you brought that up because the reason why like actors in Asia are so extremely attractive is because they find that kind of. The competition is so stiff there. Like, you have to be, even like a normal person, you have to look a certain level of attractiveness or you're literally called ugly. Like, people will say that to your face, right? And so there's so much competition that they would never in a million years even consider a top actor to be medium. But that happens in America for all races. Like, look at, like, that ugly guy, the Jeremy Rent. What is his name? Sorry, that's so mean. The guy, the...
Who?
Is it the Hurt Locker?
I'm Googling.
Jeremy Renner?
Oh, Jeremy Renner? Yeah, Jeremy Renner.
Is that his name?
Yeah, yeah, the actor.
Wait, like, that guy from the Avengers?
Hawkeye, yes.
Is he hot?
Oh, yeah.
The guy that's, like, he's not
Hawkeye,
ugly,
yeah.
But
yeah. No, I know
he's
you're
not
dumb,
hot.
Yeah.
He's, like, a regular-looking man, and he's just, like, an actor that's good at acting, and that's important for American media. Whereas in Korea, even if you're a great actor, if you don't look stunning, you're never going to be on the camera. And so that's like another thing too. I think there's so many layers to this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, this I think is connects to the previous thing when we were talking about, Doogie is that like, who gets to say, okay, so like, who gets to be offered up as tribute, right? Who is the person who gets elevated up, right? And who's doing the elevating? And I think that's the thing. So, like, you know, I think there is a grain of truth to a lot of times for a while, Hollywood would say, this is the person who is going to be your Asian representation. This is not, this person didn't come from the community. This wasn't selected by a lot of people. This was just like one or two, producers just thought that this is the person. And I agree. I think sometimes in Hollywood thinks they have a kind of a different take on Asian beauty than Asian people do. You know, I think that's definitely true. But for me, I think if you can go back to this person represents Asian America, they should come from Asian America and have Asian American standards. That is where it should come from. And that's why I think it's complicated though, because And Hollywood hasn't learned this. And this goes all the way back to what the issue with Shang-Chi was, is that remember Shang-Chi was like came out of like a very racist place, right? And now we're kind of like backfilling it into being not racist. So this character is in the movie, he is, you know, obviously some, you know, a character from China, but lives in America for a while. So he kind of becomes Asian American. And so then he has an Asian American character play him, actor Simu, right? And this guy, I feel, he kind of represents who we are. He's Canadian American. He's kind of goofy. He's kind of a bro. It's, you know what I'm saying? So that's why I think we're kind of like responding well to him. And you know, I think he's also hot. I mean, you know, but then people, you know, but then you kind of port him over to China and to Asia, and Asian people are now like, well, is this guy supposed to represent Asia because he doesn't represent Asia? You know, which is fair. Right. That makes sense because, you know, Simu is Canadian, Chinese, right?
He's like a,
you know,
yeah,
right. And so who gets to represent? Who gets to represent? Who gets to say that this person is representing the thing? The problem, of course, is that this character, Shang-Chi, is like out of nowhere, right? He came out of a racist guy's mind. Right, so that's really where the problem came from, and now we're trying to like backfill it, and everybody's kind of getting upset about this whole thing.
I wonder. So you're saying like if let's just say there was another Asian Marvel hero, and his name was like Tom Chang, and he like works for Google, and now he can shoot lasers out of his eyes. Are you saying if that was the case, then like maybe China wouldn't really care because this guy's like, oh, I'm from Connecticut, or
right?
Whatever,
well, I think it would be a little bit more. So there's a new movie that's coming out, and this
Eternals.
There is Eternals coming out. Those guys are from fucking space, right? We're not gonna hear any shit from that, you know. Like, there's no space people going, these don't rip. This doesn't rip my space people, you know. No, but like, no, there's another one. Ah, shit. What's it? It's about like a Louisiana Asian person.
It's a Marvel movie?
No. It's like an indie movie.
I've seen ads for this. He's a dad, right?
Yeah, he's a father, like, and he is like I think that he's a Korean adoptee. He was raised in this little town, so he has like this crazy like Bayou accent and everything like that. It's played by Justin Chan. And this person, it's obviously not the same thing because it's not the same scale of the movie. But like this person is like is supposed to be, you know, someone from Louisiana, clearly is not a person from Asia, right? And so you have a little bit less of an issue about like representation, quote unquote, from Asia, because this person isn't supposed to try to represent Asia. This guy is from fucking Louisiana. This character is from Louisiana. So, you know, that's where I think the tension is, because now Hollywood is trying to do this thing where it's like, oh, we got an Asian American character. Also, he's Asian, right, guys? Right. So that's where people start to get like kind of weird about it, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. And because that movie is such a big movie, it's such a blockbuster.
It's such a big movie.
Like people in China are getting upset because they're like, that's the pinnacle of Hollywood, you know? That's a really good point.
I feel like, hey, listen. There's all kinds of hot people, okay? Let's all be more accepting of all these different looks. You can be Simu hot. You can be BTS hot. You can be Fumi hot in certain very, very specific circumstances. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know what I'm saying?
I was thinking about? I think the best analogy is like, okay, Jonas Brothers, right? Jonas Brothers. So there's
what?
Joe Jonas.
Lost.
Yep. Okay. What are you talking about?
There's Joe Jonas.
Yeah.
Okay. Google Jonas Brothers. Okay. There's three of them.
Yeah, Joe Jonas.
There's Joe Jonas. Sure. People, he's like, people voted him as the hottest one. There's Nick Jonas, who married the fucking girl from Game of Thrones. And then there's fucking Kevin Jonas. Okay.
I'm Googling.
But he's like not the hot one, but there's a lot of girls who find Kevin to be the most attractive one.
Yes.
Right? So I think I guess what I'm saying is like nobody gets mad at someone for finding Kevin Jonas hot. And
again,
that goes back to like with white people, it's just like, yeah, I can do anything. I can find
whatever.
You know, I can find Adam Driver hot. I can Google Kevin Jonas. You don't know exactly what I'm talking about.
I'm looking at that. You know what I mean? I wish I knew which was which. But just based on what you said, I'm going to try to guess which one's the Okay. Yes. Okay, I get it.
Kevin just looks like, I don't know, your friend's like dad or something. He's just like a regular guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now that they're older, he's looking good. I'm just putting that out there. Nick and Joe are neck and neck. Yeah, they're very attractive, but very different. Kevin is, some people find him attractive.
Some people find him attractive.
Yeah,
and we don't have to get mad about it.
We don't have to get mad. There's room for all of the Jonas Brothers.
Let's get it in there.
I was going to say, I'm just going to say, like, this is the fucked up shit about talking about race issues. I mean, outside of Asian and like American Asian, and like especially dealing with like what white people are doing in media, it fucks with your head because white people are doing weird shit. So now when an Asian person's like, oh, are they like picking this person instead of a hot, and I'm kind of like, now I'm like getting all conspiracy brain, do you know what I mean?
It sounds crazy
and then you're like, oh wait, they do be doing that, so
they do be doing, you
know what I mean?
That
now, mm-hmm. and now mm-hmm. now we all have mm-hmm. to sit here and talk about it on our fucking podcasts, do you know what I mean, and break it down, and this woman is angrily emailing the both of us. Oh my god.
But
Jesus Christ,
the question
she wanted us to talk about this.
The question really is, does anyone find Jiangshi hot? Okay, how about that?
Jiangshi.
All right, the hopping vampire.
Oh, Kangxi.
Okay?
kind of hot.
Kind of hot. Well,
oh, by the way, I googled it to look for the Halloween show, and they have sexy Kangxi Halloween costumes for women.
Oh shit!
That makes sense.
They're like hot Asian girls with like big boobs wearing the Kangxi costume instead of like a mini skirt
and hopping around and with the nails and everything.
Can you imagine?
We got an unsolicited question, which is great. Someone emailed us, and I'm going to hide the identity of this person because they asked us to. But I'll just read the request here. This person, we're going to call him TJ. I have a question for you and a possible topic for your podcast. Do you have any advice on how to propose to an Asian lady? Okay, already it's going to get kind of weird. Already, right away, as soon as this person brings this up, it's going to be a little weird. I'm very much going to propose to her, but I'm not sure how I might go about this. I'm a Latino, Mexican, Spanish, and she's Korean, if that helps. Should we keep it simple, something elaborate? And that's it, etc. So,
fuck?
Yeah, I mean, hey, you know what? Love, I guess. What do we young me, I wanted to open it up. This person wants to ask.
Yeah.
This person wants to ask an Asian lady to marry him. I guess the first thing is don't call her Asian lady. Let's just lay the ground rule down.
I mean, I don't think he's right for marriage, bro.
I know.
This
is gonna be an issue. but
I think you should put away that ring.
This is how you do it. You ask her dad.
Oh yes. Okay, that's a good one.
Ask her dad. And that's it. And if he says yes, then that's the end. I had a traditional Korean wedding. And
oh, did you?
Part of the ritual was he had to bring a mallard to my mom.
Yes, yes,
and
yes,
then she
yes,
had
yes.
to accept the mallard. So, bring a mallard.
Yeah, Vietnamese people, I'm you're
Googling
supposed
mallard.
To go to... A mallard is a duck. You go to... You're supposed to go to the woman's house... the yes. fiance's house, and you're supposed to do all this big offering of stuff, and it's like gifts, all these different gifts, but like multiple packages, multiple versions, I'm not more versions, but multiple copies of them, because what happens is you're supposed to take this gift to the bride's family, and the bride will then distribute those gifts to their friends. Mm. Does that make sense? So it's like it becomes like a big party.
You know what's so funny about this is like you know, we were like, oh, what a racist question, ha, ha, ha. And then as we start answering the actual traditional way, it actually, like, I feel like a lot of the traditional methodologies are, like, it sounds like something a white guy would make up.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
Because I was thinking.
The traditional thing.
like bring a mallard? What
is
the fuck?
Very,
you know,
it's very sexist, you know? Like, it's all about, like, treating the woman as a piece of property.
Yes, exactly.
I'm giving you something in return for the woman.
Yeah.
So I mean Western stuff is like that too. So don't get it twisted.
Yeah, like to Young Mi's point, I remember like I wasn't born, but apparently when my dad asked my mom for marriage, he came over to her house wearing a suit, and then he just like there's like in Japanese houses there's like a little entrance thing where you take off your shoes.
Yeah.
And he summoned the father.
Yeah.
Or my grandfather. And he just, according to my uncle, who was like 18 at the time, he said he just bowed for like hours and hours asking for, you know, if it's okay for to marry my mom
right.
or whatever. But just like, again, just that image.
Yeah.
It sounds so racist. It doesn't even sound like something that, you know, people should be doing.
It almost sounds like it would be romantic, except the romantic part is happening to the father rather than to, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I came over and he's
like, there.
He's holding up a sign like, oh my god, I'm in
That's
love.
So funny.
Please let me marry your daughter. It's raining.
So funny.
Yeah. So TJ, you know what? You gotta look deep inside yourself, okay? And you know what? We've left clues. Go back and listen to everything we've said. Certain things we've said are serious, and some things do not do. That's the peril of listening to this podcast. Sometimes we're joking. Yep. Sometimes we're not. You can never tell.
Sometimes we're not.
Hey, good luck.
He's going to show up with a mallard.
Get that mallard going,
baby. My
wedding
was such trash because like there was this Korean old lady helping me.
Oh, yeah,
kept,
yeah, yeah.
She the whole time she kept telling me I was too fat to do any of the ritual stuff.
No.
See, this is what I'm fucking talking about,
she was, like,
man.
That
is
whispering in my ear.
It's fucking toxic.
Because I was supposed to do a very traditional bow. Three
right.
times, and she kept whispering
all the way at the
like,
bottom. Yeah,
don't bow down all the way because you're too fucking fat, and I can't lift you back up. She kept saying that to me during my goddamn wedding, and then there's the end part where your new husband has to carry you on his back.
Right? Yeah, yeah, I did that.
Walk
yeah.
around the table, and they're like, "We're skipping that. We're skipping that."
There's
part.
No way.
Oh my god,
you're gonna give this
too
your
much
husband
of a
hernia.
We can't do it with the fat one. She literally was saying that. That was my wedding. That was a very Korean wedding.
Very Korean wedding. Yeah, there is a traditional part where you just whisper insults into the bride's ear. That's very traditional.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so to TJ, I would say hire a roaster just to just to speak rude things into your wife's fucking ear.
I really can't. I just remember that. And then there's a part where you have to eat like a date off the table. She's like, don't eat that date.
Don't eat
just
too many dates.
Just pretend you're eating it. Don't eat it. And I was like, fuck this bitch.
Calorie counting. That,
I feel like this bitch should be like one of the Korean ghosts. She sounds very scary.
Yo,
to be honest,
Ajuma, Korean wedding planner,
hopping Ajuma.
The Korean, that's like the next level
the
ghost, man. That's scary as shit.
Yeah.
That's the episode. Thanks for doing it, Young Me. Always a pleasure having you. Where can our fans find you and your work?
YM Mayor on social media, and then Young Me Mayor on TikTok, and then my podcast is Feeling Asian Podcast. You can find us anywhere. We started a TikTok and we like upload little clips. If that's your jam.
Check that out. And you can also find us on all the platforms at Asian Not Asian Pod. I'm also on there at The Fumi Abe. That's THEFUMIABE.
And you can find me on Instagram at Nice Pants Bro.
Come check out our next Hack City Comedy Show. That's going to be October
14th. October 14th.
Yeah. Ooh, can't wait.
I'll be there. So, you know, if come out. Come hang out with me. And I think that's it, right? Is there anything else happening?
That's it.
We might do another like live podcast thing. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I think it'll be cool.
The last one, thank you again.
Hey man, you know what? We're tiny micro celebrities. People will
we're micro celebrities.
Well,
can we start? I want to make that a thing. Yeah. I want to start calling each other
micro celebrities.
We're micro celebrities
for sure. Yeah, there you go. Come say hi to me in the jiu-jitsu locker room. Hi.
Ooh.
We love it. All right, Anals. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.